Welcome to A Pastoral Approach, a site of blogs and podcasts intended to help you grow and be strengthened in the one true faith of Jesus Christ as we approach the day of His coming. We trust the Lord will add His blessing to this, the teaching of His most holy word.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that serves as the basis for today's message comes to us from the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. My dear friends in Christ, Jesus went to his home. Now, if you remember last week, we remember that Jesus had been rejected at Nazareth, about to be thrown off of a cliff because people got upset with him. Remember, this is a town that he grew up in, Nazareth. And he left. And he went to his new home, to where he would live and make his home base for all of his ministry. Now, there's actually really nothing special about Capernaum, though it does seem that it was some type of peaceful place, a place where there was some beauty on the shores of Lake Galilee. But it's mentioned because it is Jesus' home. Now, as was Jesus' custom, just as he had done in Nazareth, he went to where he could hear the word of God on the Sabbath. He went there to be refreshed, to hear, to meditate, and even to teach. And he taught with authority. We've heard all of this before about Jesus. People are amazed at his teaching. People marvel at his teaching. They want to hear more because it's just that good. In fact, it shows he's teaching as the quintessential example of Christian preaching. Preaching with love and patience and kindness and goodness, not being envious, not being boastful, not with arrogance or rudeness, not with irritability or resentfulness, but in truth. He taught with love, bearing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things. But the peace of Capernaum wouldn't last that Sabbath day. At least not in that synagogue. There was a man who had presumably come to hear the word of God as was expected, just like Jesus was doing, and this man stood up. And this man, prideful and arrogant as only the devil can make one, stood up and began to speak. And Jesus, the teacher of teachers, could not bear the spitting of the demon, and he cast that demon out of his midst and away from the word of God. And we just heard that love bears all things. But this is still love. Jesus loved this man, and presumably even once loved the demon before he fell into league with Satan, as Jesus loves all of his angels. But Jesus could not bear to have this man or his demon speak the things of God, even while being filled with sin. Love would not leave this man in his unclean sin. It would not abide it. But love casts out sin by repentance and forgiveness, law, if you will, and gospel. I think we often look at this text and other texts like it. They litter the New Testament and wonder why it is that Jesus doesn't allow this demon to speak, even if it is the truth. I mean, after all, if you look at what the demon said, there really is not a whole lot wrong in that, right? At least not doctrinally. Jesus is indeed the Holy One of God. Would that all men know this and love Jesus because of it. But did you see what the demon desired to do? It's not to bring all people to bow down at the mention of the name of Jesus, but to begin twisting God's word and taking people away from the true love from God. Go back in time. Remember Satan in the Garden of Eden. He subtly twisted God's word for his purposes, remember? Did God really say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden"? A subtle twist indeed. Well, no, God didn't say not to eat of any tree, but specifically the fruit of the tree that is in the midst, the middle of the garden. Now, Eve, she knew that much. But this subtle twisting of God's word led Eve astray. And she began to add to God's word. Satan distracted her with the wrong thing so that she might twist God's word on her own. And she added that she should not even touch the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. And God never said that. It gave Satan an opening that Eve might reach out with her hand and might take the fruit into it and eat of it. And that there she would indeed be like God, knowing good and evil. And she would die. And Adam would die. And through them, the whole human race would die. The demon today is no different. The Holy One of God isn't interested in destroying the people in that synagogue. He's there to preach the word of the Lord while hearing it. But the demon twists God's word, making Jesus out to be the destroyer that we know the devil truly is. And Jesus won't allow it. He can't allow it to speak any longer. He can't bear the falsehood and the sin amidst his people. And so he commands it to be silent and to be cast out of the man. Love bears all things, certainly, but love never bears falsehood. Love calls a thing what it is. If it's sin, it is sin. If it's good, it is good. Falsehood and lies, betrayal, slander, evil thoughts, evil actions, backstabbing, gossip, these are things that love can't bear because they masquerade themselves in the truth. And that's because the one who does these things has no love for God or for his people. They love themselves. They make all of these things look good while they are being truly evil. These people do not belong to God. They refuse to hear the word of the Lord because of what they have in their mind for their purposes, and they twist all of God's word for their own doings. Now we do, all of us, we do this. We're like the demon-possessed man. We speak falsehoods about God. We speak falsehoods about man so that we would benefit from them. But here's the difference. In Jesus, in his infinite mercy, he's given to us here today the gift of faith so that we might repent of the evil that we do. Though we do these things, we are not like those who have no love for God. God has made us to love him. Used to be in the baptisms of old, in the old rites, the pastor would lay his hands upon the person being baptized, old or young, grabbing their head and cry out, "Out, foul spirit, make room for the Holy Spirit." Does anybody remember that? It was an exorcism. It's not the kind that's popularized in the movies. Those are actually, and I hope you all know this, those are all made up. That's not how it happens. But what we have in that old baptism rite is the exorcism that Scripture allows us to do. Because in baptism, the Holy Spirit enters into us, delivering to us the gift of faith, bringing to us the gift of Jesus Himself, so that we might indeed be the temple of the Holy Spirit and not the tent of demons. We all, in one way or another, keep trying to invite these demons that in all of our baptisms have been cast out of us. We want to invite them back and bring them to live inside of us. But in repentant faith, the faith that looks to Jesus Christ alone, the Holy One of God, we repent of our sins. And Jesus casts out these demons and all of their activities. He casts them outside of us so that we will be made clean once again. Before the Lord, in our uncleanness, we can do nothing but be silent as the law condemns us. But even as we're silent before the Lord, in repentant faith, the Lord speaks for you. And He declares you to be righteous, to be forgiven, to be His brother, to be His sister, to be His child. You see, our Lord knows that we are weak and that we will fail and that we will fall and that we will falter. And He knows that we'll do this even from the grace that He gave to us in our baptisms, even in the forgiveness and strengthening of faith that He's going to give to us in His supper. But it doesn't stop Jesus. It doesn't stop Him from teaching with authority. It doesn't stop Him from casting out demons. It doesn't stop Him from removing your sins as far from you as the east is from the west. All of this should be a great comfort to you. But this should also, this entire story actually, even be a good reminder for us that there may even be those among us who do not belong to God, perhaps even today. Remember, this man, unclean as he was, demon-possessed as he was, brought himself into the synagogue to be in the midst of God's people, but he didn't belong to the Lord. He brought the demon inside of him by his sins. He brought the demon inside of him by his lack of faith. He brought the demon inside of him by his most grievous errors. And who knows how long he was a member of the synagogue? I suppose it's possible he could have been a member for a single day, but it's more likely he had been there for some time. And yet even he did not believe the word of the Lord. But see Jesus. The Lord is still gracious even to those who do not believe in Him. The Lord had mercy on this man. And the Lord cast his demon out, making him clean. This is love. Love cannot endure sin. It's not to say that love hates others who sin, but it is to say that love always points us to repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus did for this man. He forced repentance and forgiveness in his exorcism. He made the man clean even without asking for it. That's what Jesus, the Word of God in human flesh, does. He makes you clean. He does this for you. He makes you clean by His most holy word, and He brings to you the forgiveness of sins that He won for you upon that cross, that you would have life with Him eternally. He gives to you faith. Faith that causes you to repent so that you may have life and have it abundantly. We should not desire to be living lives of sin, without love, without peace, without patience, without kindness, without bearing one another's burdens. We should desire all good things. We should not be envious or boastful, arrogant or rude, insisting on our own way, or be irritable or resentful or rejoice at wrongdoing. These are the works of demons. Even perhaps the demon of our sinful flesh. We are Christians. We are brothers and sisters in the faith of Jesus Christ. We are called to more than this. We are called to love. But we fail. And we fall. And we falter. And we act like children, throwing tantrums to get our way because we know what's right for the world, when really it truly has nothing to do with Christ or his gifts. But our Lord calls us to more. And he gives us the strength and the ability to do more, to work toward obeying the law. And he does so by his holy word. And he does in his sacraments. He does so because he has freed us from the law's accusations by his work and his action for you. He does all of this so that when we sin, and we do sin, he'll forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because he's holy. He doesn't abide sin in his presence. I mean, that's why we're here, isn't it? Right? We're not here for power or prestige. We're not here because we're a humanitarian endeavor. We're not here to be a social club. We're here to have our sins taken away from us. Jesus pronounces that to you today. You are here to receive strength for today and a bright hope for tomorrow. That strength is for service to our neighbor, to do rightly by them according to the word of God. And the hope that we have, it's the hope of the resurrection. That even though we are sinful, Christ declares us righteous, and that we might be with him forever in the new Eden. There and then there will be no twisting of God's word. Then there will be no doubt over what God has said. Then there will be no destruction. There will be only the Holy One of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who speaks to you, even today, with the voice and the tongue of love, the love that would cause him to give up his body for you. And you won't get to that day of resurrection by doing all the right things, even though we should be trying to do all the right things. But we do get there by love. Not our love, but the love of God in Christ Jesus, the true meaning of the good news. The love that would sacrifice the Son of God in your place for your sins, for your sake. And we will get to that day of resurrection. We're going to see that new day dawning upon the new heavens and the new earth. And we shall never be unclean with sin or with any demon again. That's our hope. And Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. And Jesus Christ continues to speak his love to we who doubt, to we who falter. You see, that's why Paul says these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And even as Jesus speaks to us today, the greatest of these is love. You will see the day of the Lord's resurrection. That is how much your Jesus loves you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Louis Polzine. I'm glad you've joined us as we've made our way through the scriptures. If you're in the Bemidji, Minnesota area and you're looking for a new church home or just have questions, I encourage you to contact us at Trinity in Bemidji at 218-444-4441. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always.